This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Back to school on hold. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, January 3rd, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
At least 22,000 schools have announced closure starting today in response to a surge in COVID cases. Hear how some are responding.
Two people remain missing in suburban Denver after fire damaged or destroyed more than 1,000 homes and businesses.
Twitter has suspended the personal account of Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene for COVID misinformation.
And teachers desperate to get rid of hybrid instruction, even though districts want to keep it.
It depends on supplies, whether kids at home have all the things that they need, whether they have the right access, speed of internet at home. Are they really concentrating? All those issues that came with remote learning still applied to the kids that were working at home.
Nirvi Shah writing for Politico on the battle over hybrid teaching during COVID. Officials in Colorado say two people remain missing after a wildfire in suburban Denver destroyed or damaged more than 1,000 homes and businesses. The blaze, called the Marshall Fire, ignited last Thursday and was driven by historic wind gusts, sometimes surpassing 100 miles an hour. Colorado Governor Jared Polis toured burned-out communities yesterday as searchers with cadaver dogs picked through the rubble.
We built back from other disasters like the 2013 flood, and we will build back stronger from this one because we are Colorado strong.
The cause of the blaze was under investigation, although authorities said they executed a search warrant on private property. As of yesterday, the origin of the fire had been narrowed down to one neighborhood. Hardest hit were the towns of Louisville and Superior, which have a combined population of 34,000. The wildfire itself is 62% contained. The residual heat from the fire, coupled with debris and a recent snowstorm, has made the investigation more difficult. Thousands of students across the country may be having their Christmas break extended thanks to the surge in COVID cases. Milwaukee shelved its scheduled in-person reopening while classes were canceled in Syracuse, New York. Milwaukee decided to start classes remotely when school resumes tomorrow because so many teachers have tested positive. The goal is to open a week from today. Syracuse canceled school because of an increase in cases among staff and the lack of substitutes to cover their absences. Dr. Jeff Pothoff is with the University of Wisconsin Health System.
You know, when we talk about less severe, we really mean at the population level. So if you have 100 people who get Omicron, less of them will require hospitalization. But it's not to say that Omicron can't make you so sick that you need to go to the hospital. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Washington, D.C. and Baltimore are extending winter break by 2 days to test staff and students before reopening buildings on Wednesday. Chicago is recommending that parents give rapid tests to their children. Five missing and underage teenage girls have been recovered by U.S. Marshals in a months-long operation in the New Orleans area. In addition, 30 people were arrested in what's called Operation Boudat. More from this morning's Dave Duncan.
A press release says one of the girls found was a 16-year-old who had left her home by allegedly stealing a relative's vehicle and handgun. She was found at a New Orleans home, living with several adults, including a strip club dancer. Separately, a 14-year-old was found alongside a 17- and 15-year-old. The trio said they were stranded by adult males because one of the men's cousins was shot. A third was a 15-year-old runaway. Two others were sisters found in an apartment in Baton Rouge. Gordon.
Thank you, Dave. From mid-October to Christmas Eve, U.S. Marshals said they made 30 arrests as part of the operation, with 17 of them being for felony sex offender registration violations. Part of the operation included authorities completing over 100 sex offender compliance checks. What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT, more security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into the new year. The outlook for 2022 includes lots of uncertainty about whether the COVID virus will mutate into a new monster or eventually peter out. As for surprises, Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, has a handful of things that could look quite different in 12 months than they do now. Rick, your take.
Well, it's an easy lift because you can't foresee the future. And then if you miss a few, yeah, you know, you talk about it a year from now and nobody complains. I mean, look, some of the things we know are likely to happen in 2022, the economy will actually stay pretty solid. Perhaps we'll see some easing in the job market, which a lot of employers would appreciate. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out what are the things we may not foresee. And one of them, I think, is shortages now, I think, could turn into surpluses within, who knows, 6, 9, or 12 months. So all the things that are hard to find right now, what's going on in the marketplace, retailers are ordering everything they can get. They're building up their inventories in anticipation of not being able to get stuff. So at some point, these supply chain kinks are gonna get straightened out, and it could turn out we have more than we need of cars, appliances, game consoles, what have you. It's not gonna happen overnight. At some point, the price pressure that is being caused by shortages, I think there's a good case that we're going to see that price pressure reverse because we could end up with more products in the market than we actually need.
All right, so price pressure generally translates to advantage consumer, I guess, right?
Right. And we now have inflation that's a lot higher than anybody wants. But by the middle of next year, prices, year over year prices compared with where they were in 2021, because they went up so much in 2021, we could have deflation in things like cars, new and used cars and rental cars and hotel rooms and things like that, where we've seen these huge price increases this year just for numerical purposes. So we'll see what happens, but I think this stuff is gonna, we are gonna return to normal. It's gonna take some time, but we will get to normal, back to normal at some point.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called Five Surprises to Watch For in 2022. An interesting one here too, abortion.
Right. And, you know, I focus on business and the economy, and abortion is not typically a business issue. However, because the Supreme Court does seem poised to either curtail or overturn the Roe v. Wade abortion protections, this could end up being a giant political story in 2022 with all kinds of repercussions. So for starters, if the Supreme Court does overturn Roe v. Wade, there are something like 22 states that have trigger laws, they're called trigger laws, that would automatically ban abortion or strictly curtail abortion in those states. So you'd suddenly have a huge divide in the country just based on where abortion is legal and where it is illegal. And look at the way people protest political decisions they don't like these days. They go after companies that are in some of the places where they don't like the policies. So the company, you know, states that would ban abortion right away include Texas, Georgia, Tennessee. There are a lot of big companies in those states. FedEx is in Tennessee, Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola there in Georgia, American Airlines, AT&T are in Texas. So, you know, these companies don't want anything to do with abortion politics, but I think it's possible they could get dragged into it.
Not that predicting the stock market is anything anyone necessarily wants to touch, but you did reference bear market here.
Sure, I'll touch it. You know, this is one of the most foolish things you can do is predict the direction of stocks. So I'm going to do it. You know, we are going to have a bear market sooner or later, a 20% correction or more. And, you know, we're going to have a couple things happening in 2022 that might set the stage for that. We know the Federal Reserve is going to be tightening monetary policy, probably not really quickly, but we are going to we are for sure shifting from loose monetary policy that supports risky assets to tighter monetary policy. If you combine that with an economy that will probably be slowing, I mean, the pace of recovery from the COVID pandemic is going to be slowing by the end of 2020. which means corporate profits could come in a little disappointing. I don't think we're going to have a terrible recession, but I think that could be the making of a bear market. And, you know, there are a lot of analysts who think stocks are overvalued right now simply because of all the Federal Reserve stimulus and fiscal stimulus we've had. So that would not really be surprising.
Finish up with a potential China overreach. What would that look like?
China may already have overreached. This is a complicated story, but China is stretching its military ambitions and its economic ambitions. But China has problems at home. It's been able to paper over these problems, but look what's happening now with this huge property developer, Evergrande. Looks as if it's defaulting on many billions of dollars of debt. There are other problems inside the Chinese economy. So China may have to pull in its wings a little bit and focus more on problems at home.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Today's unfolding like every other day since Christmas Eve for airline passengers. Chaotic. After canceling nearly 2,700 flights yesterday, more than 1,500 have been canceled already today. Blame the travel mess on wintry weather in key airline hubs, including Chicago and Denver, and at some airlines, continuing flight crew shortages due to a surge in COVID sick calls.
Number two.
Search teams are looking for two missing people in the smoldering debris from a massive Colorado wildfire, while people who escaped the flames sort through the charred remnants of their homes to see what's left. Boulder County Sheriff Joe Pelley.
We're continuing to try to locate those folks and hopefully locate them alive and well somewhere. If not, we are working the scenes of those homes, which are totally destroyed, to see if there are in fact human remains.
Investigators are still trying to determine what caused flames to tear through at least 9.4 square miles, leaving nearly 1,000 houses and other buildings destroyed in suburbs between Denver and Boulder.
Number three.
Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming says the House panel investigating the January 6th Capitol riot has learned of face-to-face communication between former President Trump and his daughter while the attack was unfolding.
We have firsthand testimony that his daughter Ivanka went in at least twice to ask him to please stop this violence.
Cheney says Trump was sitting in the dining room next to the Oval Office watching the attack and that he could have at any moment walked to the press briefing room and appeared on television. The House committee is readying a slate of public hearings on the riot. It's a new year, and that means there's a host of new laws across the country. Protections from unexpected medical bills kicked in on Saturday. That federal law requires insurance companies to cover even out-of-network expenses that can sneak up, especially in emergencies. In Ohio, students entering high school in the new year won't be allowed to graduate until they complete a course in financial literacy. It's now illegal to chain up a dog in Texas, and Florida now requires child care providers to install alarms in any car, bus, or van that will alert drivers to make sure everyone is out before they lock up.
I like the Ohio approach with the financial literacy.
That's a brilliant idea. Yeah, everybody should do that.
Big supporter of that. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. The latest TikTok trend involving warnings of potential violence at schools may have parents wondering how they can get a handle on their children's social media usage. Experts say it's not easy. Tips from Mike Snyder, consumer tech reporter at USA Today. Mike, what do we have?
This has been building over the last few months where the use of TikTok has expanded. I mean, right now there's 1 billion people who use TikTok, and probably almost every child you know that has a smartphone has TikTok on their phone. So I talked to several experts because there were these kind of rumored portents of violence at schools. And there wasn't any, as far as we know, there wasn't really any specific, we're going to do something, you should do this at this school. But there was these, there are things on TikTok called challenges, where it's like you can challenge you to do this dance, challenge you to do that. But it's kind of escalated to, we challenge you to vandalize your school or slap the teacher, which are things that actually happened in the previous weeks. So schools took this seriously when there was word of rumored things happening at schools. So then we like, how can we help, you know, readers understand this? Well, the kids understand how to use the app, but they may not be understanding the repercussions of using the app. Yeah. That's where parents and guardians and teachers hopefully can come in. And as usual, there's a disconnect between, you know, I'm an adult, I don't have kids, but I know it's harder for me to understand social media than a young person. TikTok makes it very easy for young people. they just load up the app, put in a date of birth, they put in a cell phone number, and then they're on the app. And it will feed them things. And the most popular things keep rising to the top. They don't even have to like another person or account like you do on, say, Facebook or Twitter. You follow someone on Twitter or on Instagram, and then you start getting their stuff. On TikTok, you just get content. And if you get things like challenges or viral aspects that are happening, kids get this without even knowing it. And then they think, well, maybe this is serious. What's going on? You know, should I try to be cool and try to do something to scare our school, even if I don't mean it, you know, to anything to have really bad repercussions? So that's what I did, basically try to break it down for people on TikTok is happening. These things are happening on TikTok. Here's why you ought to know what's going on.
We're speaking with Mike Snyder, consumer tech reporter at USA Today. His story is called Time to Get a Handle on TikTok, How Parents Can Monitor What Their Kids Do on Social Media. As most of us know and will admit, social media education begins at home. Whether we fully understand it as parents or not, we have to have that convo. How does that start?
Certainly. Well, it depends on you and it depends on your kid. Some parents are very hands-on and have a real great talking relationship at certain points with their kids. So just talking about what's on there, show me what you're doing, you can do that. The other thing, if you're kind of like to want to investigate the platform itself, you could load up TikTok on your phone, kind of see what's going on there. You can click under Discover and see what's popular, and then you'll get a feel for what. There's a lot of things happen around music on TikTok. There might be a video and there'll be music in the background. Sometimes the music has dirty words in it. Would you want to know that? I mean, that's something you could learn doing it that way. Then there's also the aspect of monitoring. There's an app we write about in the story that's called Bark. You can put that app on your child's phone and it will it'll say you could do these apps and not do these apps. Mm. It'll give you an alert if your child comes across some problematic content. So there's, you know, you can do personal intervention, conversation, monitoring. The experts say, you know, you really kind of want to not have your child be available on social media 24 hours a day. You know, the phone shouldn't be working at night when they're supposed to be sleeping, things like that. These sound like simple common sense things, but you kind of, I'm not a parent, but I could see where you might just, at a point, just give up, you know?
Mike Snyder at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Uncomfortable work attire is a thing of the past. If you're still trapped in suits and ties, make it your New Year's resolution to go casual at work. But don't dress down. Get some casual style that fits anywhere. That's what Cuts Clothing is designed for, to fit you and any occasion perfectly. That's how I feel about my t-shirts from Cuts. They look and feel great. Buttery soft. They move with me whenever I'm at the mic or at the gym. And while I could go on about their custom engineered Pika tri-blend fabric, you really have to wear it to understand how soft it is. It's the ultimate blend of high quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. The result is what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing. And now it's worth even more because it's an even better value. Cuts Clothing is work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Advancing the conversation, identifying trends, and informing the world. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, January 3rd. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Schools close in response to a surge in COVID cases. Two people remain missing following wildfires in suburban Denver. The Senate returns to Washington today. AT&T and Verizon have rejected a request to voluntarily delay the launch of new 5G services. That could lead to restrictions from the FAA that cause flight delays. Midwest snow cancels flights. Tampa Bay receiver Antonio Brown took off his shirt and pads and quit during yesterday's game against the Jets. And a luxury ghost town in Africa. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Want to make a teacher cringe? Mention the phrase hybrid instruction. If anything was worse than students and teachers trying to communicate over Zoom,
Because of the pandemic, it was a version of school where half the students sat in the classroom while the rest stared at a screen from home. More from this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
There's a battle going on in many schools between teachers who want nothing to do with hybrid instruction and districts that want to keep it. Here with the story is Nirvi Shah, a Spencer Fellow in Education reporting at Columbia University and a former editor and reporter for Politico. Nirvi, what exactly is hybrid teaching?
So this is a practice that really took off during the pandemic. It's when teachers have a group of students in person in class, and they have another group of students who are logging in via Zoom or another video conferencing service, trying to teach both groups of kids at the same time, even if they're, you know, doing very different things at the exact moment. But the teacher is having to kind of juggle that in-person and remote learning at the same time.
Why is this so difficult for teachers?
You know, there's some baseline things were tough. Teachers didn't always have the right equipment to make this work. So schools haven't necessarily been outfitted with the right kind of headsets and microphones and video projectors to even be able to keep in touch with the kids who are at home in a way that the teacher can teach naturally if they want to walk around their classroom, et cetera. So technology was one thing that was just a baseline problem. There were teachers in some places that weren't even issued a school district computer. So they're using their own devices, which may or may not be optimal for this kind of setup. And then, you know, it depends on supplies, whether kids at home have all the things that they need, whether they have the right access, speed of internet at home. Are they really concentrating? All those issues that came with remote learning still applied to the kids that were working at home. And the students in person, I think it's just natural for teachers to gravitate to working with them in small groups and one-on-one. And then you kind of lose sight of the kids who are online for a minute. And that juggling was really, really tough. And teachers also were exhausted from the pandemic at the point where a lot of this kicked in. And it was just really hard to suddenly do something new without all the right tools, without necessarily a lot of training on how to make this happen. It's exhausting. They found it to be really exhausting.
We're speaking with Nirvi Shah, a Spencer Fellow in Education reporting at Columbia University. Nirvi, why do districts say this is working?
Well, you know, school districts were forced to make a lot of changes because of the pandemic, as horrible as it has been and as damaging as a lot of people have concerns about it's been, how it's been for the academics of students. But they also say, you know, there's a lot of potential here. What if we're doing this when it's not a pandemic situation? What if a group of kids can tap into working with a teacher at a different school who has knowledge or expertise about something that is not available in their school because their school is rural or because their school is very small? And so on and so forth. So they really feel like it's just too soon to shut the door on the potential of this form of teaching, even if what was born of the pandemic was not the ideal version of that. And they want to capture that moment of innovation and creativity in public education and make sure they harness it for the future. And they're a little worried about just closing the door completely on the opportunities that were born of a crisis.
This morning's Jennifer Koshenka with Nirvi Shah, writing for Politico. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Happy New Year. The online shopping boom fueled by the pandemic has created a severe labor crunch in the Louisville, Kentucky metro area as delivery companies and other businesses compete for workers in one of the nation's top freight transit hubs. Insight from Gabriel Rubin, national economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Gabe, what did you find?
The unemployment rate in Louisville right now is over one percentage point lower than the national average. And in large part, that's because there are just so many e-commerce related jobs. And part of that is because, a big part of that is because the UPS Worldport, the largest air hub for UPS and one of the largest air cargo facilities in the world, is based there.
And so UPS has gone through what in trying to lure additional workers these days?
They have raised pay by a lot. And they're also offering more hours, especially during the peak holiday season. So, for instance, the base rate for package handlers across the country for UPS is $15 in their contract. But in Louisville, that went up to $16.50 over the summer. And then now, as of September, that is up to $20 for daytime workers and $21 an hour at night.
Wow. And what about those longer shifts? Is that because it's hard to find bodies?
Well, part of that is just because of the package volume. They need a certain number of people to run their facility, and now it's a matter of making sure that all of the packages get through on time. People are spending so much more money on online purchases that end up going through Louisville, you know, for 1 or 2 day shipping.
How does a small business compete in terms of trying to find bodies when UPS is around $20 an hour?
Yeah, it's tough. I talked to one small business. It's a chain of salad restaurants. It's called Green District. They've got about 4 locations in the Louisville area, and they're looking to expand throughout the country, actually. And they say it's really hard to find workers, and they've had to raise pay a lot and offer a lot of training opportunities and make sure that they're making their jobs as attractive as possible.
We're speaking with Gabe Rubin, national economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "In Louisville, Hub of E-commerce, Businesses Duel for Workers." What about Louisville's location, by the way? It's stunning, right? It's very close to most of the country based on location.
Yeah. Similar to FedEx, which has its main air hub in Memphis, Louisville is about a 2 hour flight or less from 75% of the U.S.'s population. It's very close to the sort of population center of the U.S. And that means that it's extremely attractive for delivery companies and shipping companies and manufacturers as well, so that they can reach the most customers in the shortest amount of time.
Wow. It was interesting, too. There was somebody in your story who said you can have a good life in this area and you don't need a degree.
Yeah, that was the head of the local chamber of commerce. And they have changed their recruiting policies, to get people to move to Louisville. They used to be mostly recruiting people with college degrees, and they've changed that because there are so many jobs in the area that need to be filled that do not require college degrees that pay $20 or $21 an hour.
You referenced, too, though, that there's a slightly smaller workforce in the area, right? What has happened?
What's being done? Unemployment rates are measured by how many people are actually in the workforce. But Louisville's workforce is or Kentucky's workforce is significantly smaller than many other states in the country. It's actually, in October, it ranked 49th in workforce participation. That's a measurement of working age people who are either working or actively looking for work.
So why is the labor force participation rate so low there?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. One of the reasons that that local business owners pointed to was that people are out because of drug and alcohol related issues, as well as criminal records. And they are lots of companies in the area are trying really hard to make it easier for people to reintegrate into society. Another issue, which is a national issue, is that childcare is extremely hard to find. And that's a national issue for sure. And if people can't find affordable childcare, they will just decide to stay home with their kids because it wouldn't be worth it to them to take a job that, you know, where all their money goes to pay for childcare anyway.
Thanks, Gabe. Gabriel Rubin, national economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT? More security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877 Ask Dell. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Air travel is having a chaotic start to the year. Airlines canceled more than 5,300 flights over the weekend and another 1,500 today, facing severe weather throughout the country and staffing shortages resulting from COVID infections. The travel woes come during what airlines expected to be among the busiest days since the pandemic began.
Number two.
Today, at least 14 million people are under a winter storm warning as storms move across the South and mid-Atlantic into the Northeast. Winter weather alerts are in place from eastern Texas through Massachusetts. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
If you are out and come upon a plowing or spreading operation, please let them pass and clear the roadway.
The Washington, D.C. area could get up to 7 inches of snow through this afternoon.
Number three.
President Biden spoke with Ukrainian President Zelensky by phone yesterday, reaffirming U.S. support for Ukraine as it faces growing Russian aggression. The U.S. and Western allies have watched Russia build up 100,000 troops along the border with Ukraine, prompting fears of an invasion as early as this month. Sunday's call with Zelensky came days after Biden urged President Putin of Russia to de-escalate tensions on Ukraine's border. The CEOs of AT&T and Verizon have rejected a request to delay the planned January 5th introduction of new 5G wireless service over aviation safety concerns, but offered to temporarily adopt new safeguards. The Transportation Department and FAA had asked the companies for a commercial deployment delay of no more than 2 weeks. The wireless companies say they would not deploy 5G around airports for 6 months, but rejected any broader limitation on using C-band spectrum. The aviation industry and FAA have raised concerns about potential interference of 5G with sensitive aircraft electronics that could disrupt flights. Will this finally be the end of the NFL line for wide receiver Antonio Brown? The Buccaneer erupted on the sideline during Tampa Bay's win over the Jets yesterday at MetLife Stadium, taking off his jersey and pads, throwing his shirts and gloves into the stands, and walking off to the locker room. Tampa Bay coach Bruce Arians.
He is no longer a Buck. All right, that's the end of the story. Let's talk about the guys that went out there and won the game.
Brown, who has quite the troubled past, did not fly home on the team charter.
Man, my initial thing was to say, it was a selfish clown. But by the same token, I suspect there's something else going on.
I think he's mentally ill.
Yeah, there's definitely something going on there. Yeah, agreed. Thanks for being with us. If you'd really like to get away from everything, there's a place in Africa that's essentially an incomplete luxury ghost town. In Equatorial Guinea, there's a jungle clearing where 50 luxury villas sit on manicured lots. Each 7,100 square foot house has 4 bedrooms, 2 living rooms, an office, staff quarters, and a dining room. And in each dining room is a formal table set at all times for 10 guests. The Wall Street Journal says it's all part of the surreal reality of Ciudad de la Paz, a from-scratch capital city dreamed up a decade ago by the president of Equatorial Guinea, a dictator whose coffers briefly overflowed during an oil boom that came and went. The project left behind a white elephant in the Central African forest, wide boulevards, and a 22-mile ring road without cars, construction sites without construction, apartment complexes without tenants, shopping centers without shops, and movie theaters without movies, and a spectacular 5-star golf resort without guests. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.